Our scripture this morning is the 23rd Psalm, and it'll be read for us by Maggie Recor, who we'll get to hear from now.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow in all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you very much, Maggie. Now, I was thinking about this, and it had to be nearly 13 years ago or so, because I was serving a different church. And I was there, and I was officiating a memorial service. Now, I'd planned the service with the family, you know, put in the many different elements, some scriptures, some stories of life, some music, all the pieces that would help celebrate a beautiful life well lived, many of the different traditional elements. And mid-service, it was time to read the scriptures. And there's some usual ones, often John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled, right? In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, these comforting words of Jesus. And one of the things that is just a beautiful moment in a memorial service, I think, is to read the 23rd Psalm together. And so it came to that time, and I invited everyone to turn to the back of that little memorial folder, right, the little bulletin for the service, and the 23rd Psalm would be on there on the back, and we'd all read it together. It really is a beautiful thing to hear voices joined together in words that, though they weren't originally written in English, have been spoken in such times of loss and grief, spoken millennia after millennia, thousands of years. These words have comforted God's people. Now, since the psalm was printed on the back of the bulletin, I had not included it in my prepared notes, right? I was just going to use the bulletin, which meant I needed a bulletin, and I did not have one. And so, being the leader that I am, I stood there and I started with the well-known words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me." And then I tried to quietly fade out, and I was going to let the congregation just keep going. But as I stopped, they stopped. And they all looked at me. And all I could say was, "My first grade Sunday school teacher is so ashamed of me right now." I hurried back to my seat, grabbed a Bible, opened it up, and we started over and we read the psalm together. I mean, there was a time I knew every single word of that psalm. It actually was first grade Sunday school in Aberdeen, South Dakota, where we memorized the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. I knew the words of the 23rd Psalm before I could even read. And I'll tell you, even though that day I couldn't remember the exact order, is it the grass and then the water and then the path of the righteousness and the... Even though I couldn't remember each and every word, I could tell you the imagery. I could tell you the feeling. I could tell you what it means to me. A kind, loving, active caretaker. Green grass, still waters, gentle paths of righteousness and justice. Restoration of the soul. Protection even in the shadow of the valley of death. A table that was set not just anywhere but in the presence of enemies. A cup that overflows. These images are why this psalm has carried forward in the collective memory and the heart of humanity for so long. You don't have to have every word memorized to appreciate this powerful imagery of respite, of care, of protection. The promise of everything that we need. This powerful writing is not by accident. You can actually go line by line, especially in the original Hebrew text, and see how much intention was put into making these feelings so concrete. The psalmist is a poet. The psalmist is a songwriter. All of it there for the people, for us to hold on to. You might have heard it mentioned in children's time a little bit, right? I brought in one of the shepherd's crooks this morning. The rod and the staff, the beautiful imagery of caretaking. The images of being protected, not just from outward danger, but from inward shortcomings. I love that this is a tool that says, hang on, you're starting to get out of line there. Let me help you. And it's also a tool that says, here comes something awful. I'm here to protect you. That's the imagery of this psalm. Just as being led to sources that fill our needs. How often have I had to explain to someone the phrase, I shall not want, means I don't want for anything. So if God is this good shepherd, why don't we want that good shepherd? No. It's that I want for nothing. All I have everything I need is probably a far less confusing translation. Speaking of translations, more intentional translations that we see than, I mean, I memorized the King James Version because that's the one you knew. But these more intentional translations highlight the exquisite use of words to draw us in. The original Hebrew also emphasizes the life-giving nature. Instead of just the phrase, restoreth my soul, which I've always appreciated that line, the original text actually speaks more this line, my life he brings back to me. It actually uses the Hebrew word for the breath of life. That breath that's within us that keeps us and makes us living as if there was a near-death experience and new life has been breathed in, reviving us after a difficult time. And then there's that piece about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In the original Hebrew, the text and descriptions are these very long words all put together in very complicated sentences. And then following them are the simplest of words. I fear no harm. After all of the chaos and movement, these simple, clear words. I fear no harm. The simple confidence just jumping off the page with profound clarity. And then we reach that table, right? The table in front of the enemies, the table with the cup that's overflowing, with the anointing of the head with oil. The language that describes the oil upon the head is described by my favorite Hebrew scholar, and this is interesting phrasing, not as sacramental anointing, but almost sensual. I thought of it as the way someone grooms and cares for the presentation of their beloved pet, like before the dog show, or if you've ever been out at the stock show to watch when they get the animals all ready and they just make sure everything is shiny and beautiful and ready to show its best self. That's the kind of care we're receiving as our head is anointed with oil that we might put our best self forward for the world. And then those closing words, goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life. Again, often the translation many of us might have learned was, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as if to focus on some great beyond. But the author's original phrasing was more likely, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for many long days, bringing the focus into the here and now, including the long days we live each and every difficult day. I want to be sure and credit Hebrew scholar Robert Alter for some of these insights into the poetic language that are too often lost in the English. It's neat for me to hear some of these deeper meanings of words I can often say without thinking, or just forget because I wasn't thinking. But it's not the exact words or translation that stay in my head, as made painfully obvious by forgetting the mid-memorial. No, it's not the exact words that stay with me, it's the inviting promise that lingers in my heart. The 23rd Psalm speaks to the vulnerable places in our lives, the vulnerable places of need in our lives. Now, that's not something we receive often in a very genuine way. The world doesn't tend to offer us genuine, caring response to the vulnerable places of need that we carry. In fact, all of the disingenuous reasons end up highlighting our vulnerabilities and needs in unhelpful ways. Think of the many people, whether they're trying to sell us something or belittle us or bully us or make themselves feel better or simply feigning interest for their own self-benefit. Our vulnerable places of need are not often received with such care and such love. And because the world can be filled with these disingenuous reasons, we can end up cynical and guarded and skeptical, not even wanting to name our needs or not even making ourselves vulnerable out of a risk, because who knows what someone might do to take advantage of those things. Where can we share these honest parts of who we are, our true selves, the self that needs validation and support and healing? Where can we share these honest and true parts of our lives that are still in progress? The parts of our lives we might be ashamed of letting anyone know. The parts of our lives that leave us uncertain and afraid. Where do we get to share these things? Where can we truly be comfortable? Who can we trust with such intimate need? Well, that is the invitation of the 23rd Psalm, to bring our honest, needy, vulnerable selves beside the still waters, to rest in the green pastures, to have our souls restored and life breathed back into us. Psalm 23 is an invitation to be seen with dignity and to be cared for with gentleness. To know that God's love not only meets us right where we are, but then will stand guard over us so we can tend to our needs without fear of harm. That we might spend our long days surrounded by goodness and mercy, anointed with compassion. Such invitation is why these words resonate in times of crisis and loss. This deep invitation is why my first grade Sunday school teacher, Miss Ginger, wanted a room full of children to commit these words to memory, so that when we would encounter difficult moments in life, when we found ourselves in need, when we found ourselves vulnerable, when we found ourselves hurting or crying or insecure or ashamed or just outright broken, when we encountered those very real moments in life, we would recall the promise and the invitation of God the Good Shepherd, even if we didn't get all the words right. You know, a few days after the memorial service, the family came by to see me, and we exchanged a few words, and they brought me a photograph that their dad, who the service was for, this is a photograph he had taken. He loved taking pictures. And so they brought me one as a gift that I might have something of his to keep. And as I looked at this image, this beautiful way he saw the world, right? This beautiful mountain field with the aspen trees and the green grass. And I looked at this and thought, how neat to see how he saw the world and have something of his to keep. And as I looked at it, his daughter smiled and with a slight chuckle said, turn it over. And there on the back, taped to the frame, were the words of the 23rd Psalm. And it's something that I keep. And it's something that I hold. May it be that way for all of us. Amen.